Sentinel Online, now loading the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 185 of the Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me today is Movie Revolt Dan. Hello.
Hello.
And today we are doing something a little bit different. We are actually going to be revisiting an episode that Dan and I did together, actually on GeekCast Radio, not on Cinema Geeks, but we did an episode back December of 2015. This was before all of the new Star Wars movies under the Disney banner started to be unveiled and released in theaters, etc. We had done an episode back then. It was episode 88 of GeekCast Radio, where we talked about top five Star Wars rules and film ideas. And given the fact that we've kind of reached a turning point in the Star Wars franchise as far as, you know, Disney kind of wrapping up this first, what do you want to call it, but it's not an MCU, it'd have a name, but I guess Wave One or whatever you want to call it. You know, this first trilogy has been completed that they were in charge of, as well as some of these side movies and things of that nature. So we were seeing some posts a couple weeks back, you know, in celebration of, you know, May 4th and Revenge of May 5th or whatever you want to call it, and all that Star Wars week happenings, that we saw some posts being retweeted and put on Facebook, I believe probably from Mike, about some of these episodes that we had done that had focused on Star Wars. And I think you decided to re-listen to this episode, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere along that week, right?
Yeah, like I completely forgot we even did it. It was like something where he tagged me in it, and I'm like, I didn't do that episode. Like, what are you even talking about? So I went back. I'm like, oh, I actually did do that. I completely forgot all about that. And it was just interesting going back to that moment in time. And like, I'm like, what did I even say as the rules? And then there were a lot of, you know, we'll get into it, a lot of things that we had some foresight on that we put some guesses out there that proved to be correct. But also it was interesting seeing, you know, how well or poorly some of these rules actually ended up playing out over the last few years. So.
Absolutely. And then I think you had made a comment on Twitter or something about one of those posts. And so then I was like, yeah, I'd be down to revisit that. I actually went back and re-listened to the episode that we're referencing. And then it was during a time where we were doing a whole bunch of Star Wars episodes. We were doing like top lists of like moments of characters, of quotes and things of that nature, just kind of as much Star Wars content as we could pump out. I even started listening to some of those other episodes too. I think I listened to the top quotes episode that was put out there at the same time. So it was a good trip back memory lane. So the point of today, guys, is we're going to be looking back kind of at our rules and reviewing them with you guys. So these are rules that we decided back in December of 2015. So now almost 5 years later, seeing number one, if we still agree with our own rules, if they should have been rules, but number two, Dan and I are going to try to grade the Star Wars franchise or Disney or whoever you want to say is, you know, responsible for how well they followed our rules and give them a grade each on kind of how that happened. Just kind of see, it'd be a fun exercise to see, you know, what we think 5 years later now that we've seen all these different films, etc. So anything that you wanted to mention kind of before we start getting into what our old rules were?
No, I would say actually one of the biggest differences as I was reading or listening to that episode was I've become actually, oddly enough, a much bigger fan of Star Wars now compared to when we did this, you know, 5-6 years ago. Then I didn't necessarily I saw the movies and that was about it. But in large part because of my son as well, I've been reading / listening to the audiobooks of a lot of the expanded universe stories, watched Clone Wars and some of the other TV shows and things like that. So I'm actually much more well-versed, read the comics, well-versed in the world of Star Wars now than I was then. It may have impacted the kind of my opinions on things as we move forward.
Definitely an exciting thing to experience with your son and kind of go through that. I know he's a big fan based on some of the pictures I've seen you post and stuff like that. So that's awesome. It's also hard to think back, like there has been so much discourse, so much conversations on social media, back and forth, debates, arguments about all of these, however many films it's been now since we did this record, what has it been, 5 or 6 films now? It's hard to picture what the mindset was before all of that. You know, we knew we were about to get some Star Wars, but just the amount, like the words that have been written based on these films that have come out since we did this record are unbelievable. So it's really hard to kind of get in the headspace of like, hey, what was life like before all this when it comes to thinking about Star Wars?
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like the viewpoint of a lot of movies have in a way changed, because I feel before the new films, I didn't hear much praise for things like the prequels, but recently I'm seeing more people like, you know, praising things in the prequels than before. Obviously, I think there wasn't necessarily as much as I just wasn't aware of it. A split within the Star Wars fandom. It didn't, you know,
right.
That, you know, it seemed like there was just a universal excitement for the films compared to where we are now. And I think maybe we can kind of look at and see how we kind of went from there to where we are now.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you would have gone into any, like, group of fans that were waiting the release of Force Awakens, like, as they stood in line at the theater or whatever, it was a much more united excitement that you got compared to, like, what you would have gotten if you were, like, pulling the people that were waiting for this last, you know, the last movie in that trilogy. It's just a totally different feel. So what we're going to do here is we each had a set of rules that we proposed in that episode. We each had 5 of them. So I'm going to go through my 5 first. I'm just going to read one of them, and then Dan and I are both going to react to that, kind of give our take on it, and maybe assign a grade as to how well they did or did not follow that rule. So first one I had was what I called know your source. And my point with that one was don't contradict things from the previous episodes, such as, you know, 4, 5, and 6, or even, I guess, 1, 2, and 3, but just don't contradict stuff that we've already seen. Know your source and kind of stay true to that. I feel like this is, we're starting like with a big can of worms right off the bat. You know, there was this whole Emperor thing. so I don't know. I feel like there's 3 things that you can do when you're making a new installment to a previously existing franchise. Number one, you can stay true to like 100% by the book information that you got from that other one, where you don't contradict anything whatsoever. You can also take it kind of more where it's like a reboot, where you just ignore and throw everything out the window and do whatever you want. And then you can do like this third option that I guess probably if you would have asked me back in 2015, I might not have even realized that this existed. But that third option is, I guess it's along the lines of retconning something, but where you bring stuff up to contradict it, or that contradicts stuff, but you do it in a way that you're trying to explain that it's okay that you contradicted stuff that came before it. And I feel like that's kind of the realm that we found ourselves in, at least with 2nd and 3rd movie in the main trilogy that we're talking about. I'm not necessarily commenting at this juncture about Solo or Rogue One, but in that main trilogy, especially as we kind of got the change in directors from the end of the 2nd movie and into the 3rd movie, that is what kind of caused some strife between fans and some divide. There was some people that were feeling that it did contradict stuff that went before, and that other people not feeling that way. I don't know. How do you think they did as far as contradicting the source material about that?
I think it's a messy answer because of the way things were executed in a way, especially, you know, looking at The Last Jedi. And I know that was a movie that I really adore. I think it's, you know, to me, the, you know, 2nd or 3rd best Star Wars film. But I know a lot of people have a lot of distaste for it, and especially looking at the way Luke Skywalker is and how much different he is as a character compared to where we last saw him with Return of the Jedi. And I think on a surface level, I think you can look at it and say they've contradicted what his character was. And I think people bring up in a lot of points regarding who he was in that moment in time. I think it's and he wasn't necessarily, he was much more hopeful, and people feel like some of the actions that he went through in The Last Jedi weren't true to who he was as a character. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I think there are a lot of justifications for the way they took the character. However, I understand where that frustration is coming from, but I felt like it was a necessary frustration in a way, where it was going beyond just the idea of Luke Skywalker within the universe of Star Wars and trying to say more in general regarding where the franchise has to go. So it was like, okay, we need to be able to evolve this in order for Star Wars to be what it once was. It needs to be something new. So perhaps it was contradicting it in a necessary fashion. But then when they kind of then backtracked on that and in a way with episode 6 and decided to try to, you know, please everyone, and you ended up pleasing no one or not nearly enough people, even though I do overall enjoy Rise of Skywalker, despite many issues with it. But I do think, we'll get into some of my rules later, and I think episode 6 might be nine. Jeez, yeah, there's...
I don't want people to come after you, Dan.
Yeah, episode 9. Just go in order. But even in this really bad. Because it tried to, like I said, do everything. And I know there's some small things. There's like the character beats, but then there are things like the TIE fighter being able to enter hyperdrive, or when that wasn't something it could do or wasn't supposed to be able to do. The people got really angry that Kylo Ren was able to fly that ship at the end of that movie to the planet. And people felt like that was, not paying attention to canon and things like that. So there are all those little things where people freak out about. I don't really care about that stuff all that much. I'm the king. I say all the time, I don't really care much about continuity and things like that. It's a little bit different with Star Wars because it's all within the same story. So I think you can make a bigger case for it compared to like the world of comics. But yeah, I do
that's
think
like someone that's like someone arguing that like in one of the Back to Futures, like the speedometer only got to 87 miles an hour. It went off to like, come on.
I don't necessarily think overall though. I still think they all work within the same story to the point where I don't think there's anything major that makes it feel like there's giant plot holes that don't work. People tend to overuse that phrase or use it incorrectly to begin with. So I think overall they did a pretty good job despite the issues people have. But I think it'd be wrong for us not to point out those issues. But personally, I don't think it's a contradiction. I think it's actually true to the nature of the character of Luke Skywalker, who's very much a reactionary character and one who tends to kind of jump at the gun a lot, especially if you go back and watch those movies. Like, he didn't take a long time to really overthink what he was doing in a lot of ways. He was very emotionally driven, and he tended to kind of change his mind on things a bunch. But I also think it kind of follows the line of Jedi in general that tend to fall or fail a great deal.
Right.
Like Yoda, for example. I'm sure if they, like, the first movie you ever saw was a Yoda film, we get angry because what the Yoda became in episode 1, 2, and 3 is nothing like he was when he was first Yoda. Right. Same thing with, obviously Anakin and even
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. I think Obi-Wan's maybe the one person. I think maybe where his failure was an ability to see, what was happening to Anakin being too caught up with everything else. But yeah, I think it seems to be the norm of the Jedi is to fail.
And the norm is to also like the difference between characters from one trilogy to the next compared to if it was going from episode 7 to 8, like it's different. If you see either Yoda or Obi-Wan in episodes 1, 2, and 3, and then you see them in episodes, 4, 5, and 6, yeah, they're not the same person. They're much older. They've been isolated. They're doing different stuff. So it'd be a lot different if we had saw a different Luke between episodes 7 and 8. You know what I mean? Compared to between 6 and 7, like there's time that happens there. So I'm not agreeing with you. I don't have nearly as problem with the Luke contradictions and the Last Jedi. I don't think Last Jedi necessarily contradicts as much as some people would argue. I think the final film in chapter 9 there, episode 9, that's when you have to get a little more creative with your explanations and it gets a little bit harder to defend. Maybe I think you can still defend most of them, but I think it becomes a little bit harder for people to buy into your explanations. Maybe
I think the contradiction is more so in the new series itself than it is compared to the previous films in the sense of, like, I think 8 and 9 contradict each other a lot more than the the original trilogy and the new trilogy do. So what ends up making it, to me, if I was going to give it a grade, I'd give it a C+ because of that, just because the lack of consistency and the fact right. that if they were able to fully explore where it was trying to go, I think it would have held out a lot more rather than it, like has been brought up where it seemed like the story that they were going for was perhaps just loosely designed. And mm-hmm. what you ended up with was people kind of taking it their own direction. So nothing really connected as well as the previous films.
Yeah, I think I'm somewhere like right around the same area. I'd probably give it a B- or something like that, B-, C+, somewhere in that region. Because you know, I think, like I said, some of the contradictions that have been talked about ad nauseum online, maybe not as much of a contradiction as people think, but there is still a little bit of a continuity or contradictions between some of the films within the trilogy, like you mentioned. So, yeah, I think B-, C+ is a good spot for Know Your Source. My second one I titled I Am Not Your Man. And that was explained as don't get wrong who the main character should be. Now, first of all, I'm wrong because I said I'm not your man. I said your person, because obviously it is a female character that we're following for most of this trilogy. I was using the generic man. But I think this one pretty spot on for me. I think they knew who the main character was. They knew who this story should be revolving around, and they followed Rey, you know, for the majority of these films, regardless of, you know, if they have to go off on this or that tangent and follow a couple different characters at different times. I don't think they ever lost sight of the fact that this trilogy was about Rey. I guess this rule was more so about the trilogy. I mean, with these single movies, like we said, with Solo, Rogue One, those types of things, since they're only one movie, it would be hard not to follow the main characters. But I don't think I ever felt that during this this newer trilogy that they swayed too far from focus on Rey as a main character. So I think they did really well with this one. I don't know about your reaction.
I agree. I think going into it, thinking back when this came out, and I see what you're saying with I'm Not Your Man, because I think most people, like myself, I thought Finn's character at the time, we didn't even know what his name was going to be. But John Boyega's character was going to be the main character because it's most of the advertisement was on that character. And there wasn't really even that much on anyone really, but we didn't know who Daisy Ridley was. Well, most of this cast was unknown, but at least John Boyega was in Attack the Block. Oscar Isaac was a well more established star. So it seemed like they were going to be the major focus of it. But I think making Rey the focus was the right choice because I do think she's the best character out of all the characters within the new franchise. If they went wrong with anything, I think it's maybe not knowing who some of your best side characters are and how some of the best side characters didn't get nearly enough attention or, you could have explored those a little bit more or even some of the relationships. I felt one of the things that happened within this franchise is they didn't get enough time for those characters to build those relationships as much right. or get those little pieces, which we'll talk about more later, which I think reason why some of that happened. But on a strict character standpoint, yeah, I think they nailed it, especially with the main franchise. Perhaps if you bring in like Rogue One, you can have perhaps a bigger argument. I don't know. I think that those all make sense. Obviously, Solo, you know who the main character is going to be being Solo. So when it came to this, I think that was the right answer. There was not following the wrong character when it came to this film franchise.
Yeah, I'd give this one an A for me. With the third rule that I had, I just said kids aren't stupid. And that rule was basically revolving around the idea of me not wanting them to dumb it down or insult the audience's intelligence by inserting nonsense that's not necessary, thinking of comedy bits or characters that didn't really serve much purpose other than try to entertain kids like a Jar Jar Binks, etc. It's something that I felt like we didn't really have in original trilogy. I never felt watching that I was getting pandered to as a child or like, hey, this is for the kids in the audience, which I appreciated, and that we felt like we got that a little bit more with the prequel trilogy, and I was just hoping that we would stay away from that this newer trilogy and or in even the standalone films. And honestly, think they did a fairly good job on this one as well. I think the comedy bits come from, you know, regular characters, whether it's Oscar Isaac's, you know, Poe Dameron being a smart ass, or whether it's from some of the droids, which is very similar to what we got with the original trilogy and things of that nature. But I don't think that there was any like blatant character or segment that really I felt like they were dumbing it down to a point that was beyond necessary. We can talk a little bit more about the tones of the films and, you know, target audiences a little bit later with one of your rules that you had, but I don't feel like they necessarily, I feel like they abided by this rule fairly well. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's the comedy was there when it needed to be. It was, the comedy was much more akin to the original trilogy than the prequels. Like, you know, usually droid related, you know, C-3PO, I think, right, probably had some of the best comedic lines in Rise of Skywalker. The Rise of the Skywalker, I can't always get that name wrong, but but again, like, that's been his character since the very first beginning of this entire franchise. You know, I can't think of any moments that, well, there were some comedic bits that maybe didn't work as well. I think even in The Last Jedi, the opening with like the prank phone call, or whatever you want to call it, like that was maybe a little bit silly, but not to an insane degree. I feel
like there was maybe some like juvenile humor here and there, not extremely juvenile, but maybe slightly juvenile, but not like kid friendly, like, I don't know, like a fan service, but to the kids. I mean, I suppose some people could maybe argue that like characters such as like the Porgs were entered only to appeal to kids, but it wasn't like hit you over the head like slapstick dumb humor with the Porgs.
No. And they mainly stayed silent for them. You know, that's not like they had like cute voices or anything like that. Right. And I think that they even led to a pretty funny bit with Chewbacca, like, you know, roasting one and the thudding. You know, I thought that was legitimate funny. But yeah, when the comedy, I think they peppered it in, you know, where it needed to be, but it wasn't overbearing and it never added levity to a situation in which they didn't need it. Which even something like the Marvel films are guilty of. When it needed to be serious, it was maintain that level and tone throughout, especially something like Rogue One, which didn't have much comedy at all, but it probably was the right choice considering, you know, what that story was telling.
Yeah, someone's going to comment and be like, yeah, but they added the Ewoks in at the end. So I think this one's a fairly decent grade, too. I'd probably give this one, you know, A- somewhere in there. Glad we avoided the Jar Jar Binks aspects of the prequel trilogy. My fourth rule was time is precious. And my point here was don't waste screen time on unneeded action scenes. Specifically, something that kind of got me a little bit from episode one. I know some people love it, but I was not a big fan of the racing sequence. I just felt like we're trying to establish so much in episode one to try to build this brand new trilogy and kind of set the stage. And then they took like a third of their runtime and gave us a pod racing sequence. And I know, again, a lot of people probably enjoy it. A lot of people like racing sequences or car chases or action sequences like that. It was just something that I wasn't looking for in what's starting off as the first movie in a new trilogy. So I was hoping that we could avoid that and really dedicate our screen time to stuff that was valuable and that was helping to create relationships and build characters and things of that nature. It's kind of a weird one on this one because I mean, I didn't go back and review scene by scene, you know, all the different movies that came out since 2015, and maybe I'm missing something, but I didn't see like something that just jumped off the page in my memory books about big set pieces or action sequences that had little to do with the story or the plot offhand. But at the same time, I still feel like there was time that we missed in getting some of these relationships and character development. I don't know. What did you think on this one?
Thinking back to all the major action beats of the franchises the films that we got in this newest installment, looking at like each beat, I felt like nearly all of them were pushing the story forward in some way that there wasn't anything that was overly indulgent. Perhaps maybe some went on too long. The only one I could potentially think of is in the final film and how maybe that didn't need to go on as long as it did. Just all the with the combination of the, you know, the horses on the spacecraft and all maybe it was just a little bit too much. But I think overall the action was there when it was needed. So sometimes it was brilliant, like the throne sequence. I thought it was fantastic. It was, again, hugely important when it came to both character and the story being told. And even in, you know, The Last Jedi, the finale action beat wasn't, you know, this huge gigantic battle. It was much more of a, you know, chess match than anything. So even in, you know, The Force Awakens, the final battle, again, it wasn't necessarily one that was breaking new ground, but again, within that was a very important, you know, character moment. You know, character development was key for that all really working with that external threat happening as well. So I don't necessarily think the issue with perhaps not having as many character moments was the it due to the action or having too much action. There are some things that maybe, like, again, like the casino chase.
The casino chase, but that's the only one I could think of.
Yeah, that one, you know, was fine. That did go on overtly long, and it kind of just was like, okay, that was probably, you know, even for a movie I really enjoy, probably the least effective part of that entire film. But in general, I think action was held out really well overall, and it never felt to the point where I was ever bored or, you know, even the small nitpicks. I think even the contractors would agree that, you know, the problems aren't necessarily too much action or having action that feels unnecessary, at least for what I can remember.
What kind of grade would you give this one?
I would give it a B+.
I was thinking definitely. The same thing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, B+ on that one as well. My final one was called "Thou Shalt Not Kill." Don't kill off the coolest character so quickly or in an anticlimactic moment. Again, based on the previous two trilogies that we've gotten, we had Boba Fett, who got killed off very early on after his initial appearance in the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy. Obviously, we had Darth Maul for a moment killed too early, if we don't take into account the animated series, et cetera, et cetera. So we'd seen that twice, and I was like, please don't make that a third thing. Or a third time, because it's not going to be like a third time's a charm type deal. And I mean, how do you consider? I'm trying to think. Like, it feels like Captain Phasma was the one that might have fit into this role. I mean, I know she doesn't necessarily get killed off as quickly, but it's like one of those things where you had a cool character that a lot of people enjoyed that didn't get much to do with. I guess that's kind of how that would fit in. Can you think of anybody else that might fit that as far as a character that was cool or interesting or intriguing that just didn't get enough, whether they got killed off or just kind of written off?
I think Phasma is one that is kind of is the Boba Fett of this franchise or this trilogy, in the sense of, like, people were really hoping a lot and then ended up really not getting much with her character. Right. I do think I had read the Phasma book that takes place before she becomes part of the First Order or mostly. It's actually pretty good and I think shows the potential of her character. Unfortunately, that was not at all explored. And again, like, I don't necessarily think her death was anticlimactic, but I felt in a way unnecessary. I thought they could have gotten done what they needed to get done without killing her. In a way, I guess, you know, Darth Maul came back, so maybe you could somehow say she came back. It might be harder with someone not being a Jedi, but I don't know. Or not a Jedi, but, you know, having the Force.
Right.
So her death, I mean, you can look at them about killing the coolest character. They did kill the coolest character in the first film with killing Han Solo, but again, I don't think that was anticlimactic.
I guess you could also maybe throw in, I know it was, once you see the final film and you hear all the ways that things tie together, maybe you can make an argument that it's not that big a deal, but I guess some people would say maybe Snoke as well. Not as a cool character, but as somebody that we didn't know much about and never got to know much about.
Yeah, I think Snoke and Phasma are both ones that seem like they're going to be something and then ended up being nothing. Right. And I think it goes back to just, you know, people have different ideas of where they want to take characters, or, you know, you see it a lot, you know, with comic books where you'll get a group, especially with like a team book like the Avengers and certain writers, like certain characters, and then it switches and then those characters kind of go by the wayside and go away. And it felt like that was maybe what's happening here a little bit. But there are, I think, a number of places you can point to where there are characters that weren't, didn't become who they needed to be. But I don't necessarily think the best character was killed off too soon in this. But I do think that certain characters did see like their deaths, which were big moments, quote unquote, ended up not being big moments because we didn't really know who they were as characters.
Right. And it seems like it's almost always villains too. Like you could almost make the argument that the Knights of Ren, we didn't get to see much about them after they were kind of hyped up. Apparently, for certain parts, that doesn't make 100% sense. But it seems like it's always villains that they can't quite decide who they want to focus on, so they just have them coming in and out. You don't get it as much with the heroes. I know a lot of people would claim, you know, that there were characters that, like you were saying, that didn't get enough time, but they weren't necessarily killed off.
Yeah.
People would have liked to see more Rose or more, you know, this person or that person, but they weren't necessarily killed off. It just, there wasn't apparently, you know, room.
So greeting this on a random curve in the sense of like having anticlimactic deaths, I do think I would give it a B minus because I do think there were a lot of, not a lot, but there were a number of key deaths that could have been better if the characters meant more, or those relationships were built up a little bit more. So that's where
I think I'm somewhere in that B, regular B to B minus area, because we did see a couple again. The obvious one would be Captain Phasma, but just a couple things that we were like, well, we were hoping for more out of that character before we didn't get more time with them. So, all right, Dan, those were my five rules. What kind of rules did you make back 5 years ago?
So my first rule, I think it's also important to kind of think of where we were. And this was when we recorded it, Batman v Superman hadn't come out yet, but the big talk was like how it was this more mature film. And a lot of people are like talking about when it came to this franchise, not to make it as kiddie. To get serious and make it more for the adults again. So my first rule went the other way, which was, you know, don't go too dark and still remember ultimately Star Wars is a kid's film. So you don't want to, you know, become more something that you're not in the sense of, you know, becoming too serious to the point where kids can't enjoy it. And I think, you know, it depends on the movie, but I'm curious what you think overall. You know,
I think
you're going to be a father very soon. Like, are there films that you think within the new franchise that you would be perhaps a little bit more uncomfortable to show a kid compared to others?
I feel like once they're to the age where you're comfortable watching the original trilogy that we got, I don't think there's much to worry about with Episode 7. Outside of obviously Han Solo's character, you know, you have to have them ready to react to that moment and explain whatever you're going to need to explain. That's probably the dark moment of that movie. Outside of that movie, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of callbacks. It's a lot of, you know, just fan service and fun things. So I wouldn't be as worried about that one. I think once you get into 8 and 9, it gets a little trickier. Especially 9 seems to have some dark moments, more so than might choose for a kid, but I don't know. It kind of depends on, I guess, you know, the individual age and maturity level and what you're ready to explain or question. You know more about that as an already a parent and having to do some of that. So you're probably more well-versed to do that. I'm trying to think of what I would think with the standalone films, and I feel like they're not necessarily geared towards younger an audience, but I don't know if there's anything in them that would like alarm me. I'm trying to think back.
Rogue One. Yeah, so I think with Rogue One, the hardest thing would be the fact that, you know, spoiler alert, in a way, that, you know, all those characters end up to dying, and yeah, that's you know, it's taking, you know, there's always been death in Star Wars since, you know, Obi-Wan, but knowing that all those characters have died, but I would think that's probably the most mature out of all the films. So I think that one you probably want. Like, I haven't shown my kid Rogue One yet because of that. Because, you know, it's, I think that would be a little bit too much. So, but again, I think as we mentioned earlier, to tell that story in a way. I think it's a great one of the best of all the new films that came out. But again, I don't necessarily think it has that same kind of child film quality as some of the other films. But maybe that's what they were going for, considering it was, you know, it wasn't part of the normal episodes. Right. The episodes themselves, I think, hit that tone perfectly. They have the comedy bits, like we mentioned, but they're no overbearing. They have some of the more shocking, scary parts, but I think having scary parts for kids is somewhat a good thing. Jim Henson used to always talk about how, you know, being scared as a kid can be, you know, is good. It's good to scare kids in a way.
Right.
But
even Mr. Rogers with being sad and, you know,
yeah,
having a chance to explain some of that stuff. Has your son seen all of the new trilogy?
He's seen all of the new trilogy. We saw his first one in theater was The Rise of Skywalker, which he adored. He's four at the time. I was more concerned if he would. Well, we didn't sit through it all. We didn't have many bathroom breaks, but but he really, and that's kind of what kind of ignited his love of Star Wars, because he kind of liked it. I was rewatching the movies up to that point, and he was kind of getting into them. So that was thought like, oh, let's, you know, I was home for the holidays at that time. So I went with my son and my brother and his son, who is a little older, even much more into Star Wars as well. But he was really into it. And Kylo Ren, he got so excited when, spoiler that, you know, Kylo Ren turns good. It was like his, you know, it was kind of his favorite part of the entire thing. So that movie is always going to have a special place. So there were some scary parts where he was really worried. He's a very emotional kid though. So, but he got through it. So I think if he can, most kids could, but like I mentioned, I think Rogue One, it would be the one that is, I wouldn't say struggles. I think it hits the tone it's going for, but, doesn't necessarily have that kid's,
appeal.
The
happy ending type thing. Are you sitting somewhere in the B range for this one?
Probably. I would go B plus, because when it hits it really well especially, I think Force Awakens is probably a great film to introduce kids to the franchise. Like, I'm sure that was a lot of kids' first Star Wars movie. Right. And it was a perfect, I think, way to get into films and maybe go back and watch the old ones, because it I think it does have a lot of things that resemble the first film. It's a hard tone to hit, and it's a tone that so many people tend to miss, and I thought they did a really good job with it for the most part. So
speaking of relating to the first trilogy, etc., what's your second role?
My second role was stand on your own and don't rely so much on the past. Again, going back to when we were doing this, when people were talking about what they wanted to see with these films, you know, people are talking about, you know, all about learning about Luke Skywalker, and it was all the focus was bringing back the old characters and putting all the focus on them. And personally, I wanted them to, you know, not to rely so much on the past if they're going to keep the Star Wars something new. You know, those actors aren't going to want to keep doing these roles. You need to keep things going and be don't just try to relive what you did before. And I think this was, out of all of my rules, the one that they struggled with the most, because, you know, as we talked about with The Last Jedi, I think that did the best in the sense of trying to move forward and trying to, you know, accomplish just that. I do love the fact that the focus was on a lot of the new characters more so than the old characters, and, you know, having them peppered in a little bit. But I do think ultimately, though, it kept going back to the original trilogy. I was curious what you thought.
I think this one depends on which perspective you're taking it at. Like, if you're talking about stand on your own as far as creating new characters and a new cast that can, you know, ignite interest in a new generation of, you know, audience members, I think they really did do a good job of really giving us characters that we could care about, whether it be, you know, like you said, Kylo Ren and his turn to good, whether you're talking about Rey, Poe, Finn, you know, or BB-8, you know, the Porgs, whoever it is. I mean, there was a little, you know, Maz Kanata. There's a little bit of everything as far as new characters that they really did. I thought that was one thing that was going to be hard for them was, you know, we're so used to this certain cast people that we're familiar with that, even, you know, even though you go back to the original trilogy, there are different characters that we had, you still were following some of the main ones, you know, with Yoda and Ever and Obi-Wan and R2 and C-3PO, et cetera, et cetera. So it was like, how are you going to introduce us to new characters we don't know and make us buy in? And I think they succeeded in spades with that. I think the problem is if you look at it from a perspective of, you know, the story beats and the plot points that are very eerily similar to, you know, that original trilogy, especially in Force Awakens. That was one of the big critiques that people had for the film, that it was too much like A New Hope. So, I mean, I think it depends on what, somehow they did do it and they didn't do it at the same time. So it's kind of like I'm kind of middle of the ground, maybe somewhere in that C range, because they gave us the new cast and the new characters, but they kept going back to the same story elements.
And it's funny listening to that episode. I even call it like, I'm like, we don't even need, you know, we don't need a Han Solo origin film. And we got that. I do actually, you know, I guess I'm probably too optimistic with when it comes to the new films, but I do like Solo. Actually, probably, you know, I rank it not super, super high, but I think it's, you know, much higher than, say, the Rise of Skywalker, for example. But I do necessarily, you know, that in Rogue One, even though they're good movies, I was hoping that we would get films that weren't so tied into what came before. And
I think I think you're hitting on a great point. Sorry to interrupt you. I'll let you keep going. But I think that's where you could also knock it down, is what the point you're getting to right now, where those individual standalone films could have been where they spread their wings a little bit, and they did not do that.
Yeah, because even I think Solo was a movie that was almost set up to fail, because you're doing a Solo movie, but without Harrison Ford. And, you know, when people think Solo, Han Solo, they're going to think Harrison Ford, and they're going to want him in that role, and you're not going to be able to really achieve that. And so it's you ended up with something that was just, you know, like playing that role was an impossible task. And I think that's maybe why it wasn't as successful as people hoped it to be. But if you created something brand new that wasn't tied into anything, and maybe that's the scary thing, and I could see that, you know, people, you know, worried making the movie that, okay, they're going to get angry because there's nothing here about Luke Skywalker or Han Solo or the movies they know. If we make this movie, you know, about the Old Republic, this is taking place thousands of years before the world that they know. They're going to, you know, how's that going to work? But at the same time, no one knew who these characters were when Star Wars became what it was.
Right.
Becoming new, you know, just because something is unknown doesn't mean people won't go after it. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, in the Marvel films, that was, it existed in the Marvel universe, but, you know, there was no Captain America in that movie or Iron Man. It was these new characters that, and Star Wars can do just that. Like, it's this gigantic, huge franchise with, you know, endless amounts of books and movies. You can make a monster film. You could basically, you know, do what Marvel did and have different genres that you approach with these characters. But I think that's where it faltered the most. And I think even, you know, going back to the last movie, bringing back Emperor Palpatine, and it kept taking like one step forward and two steps back, in my opinion. Right. So I kind of feel like I'm speaking two sides of my mouth, because I'm like, I like these movies, but again, it doesn't necessarily follow this rule. So I think it succeeded, but could have succeeded a lot more if it maybe artistically, maybe financially wouldn't have. I don't know. I know Rogue One did very well. Solo didn't do nearly as well as they were hoping. But I think, and because of that, they saw that box office drop lower and lower, maybe because people were sick of the same thing over and over again. So anyway, so to clarify, when it comes to Stand on Your Own, I actually gave this a D.
Okay, I can see that.
Because I think it didn't do that. It did it in the sense of these new characters, but it didn't stay committed to it. And it felt like it was trying to overcompensate for it too often. And then because of that, you kind of ended up with a little bit of a mess all over the place.
Yeah, I think it was like something like you were mentioning, like they're almost afraid to go without that security net, you know, to fall on. Like they needed that known entity or known quantity. It was like, even if you take like the Force Awakens, like they're bold enough to kill off Han Solo, but then they're like, but we still got two characters in our pockets, you know what I mean? Like they're like, yeah, but we still got Luke, we can kill him off the next episode. We still have Leia, but we won't kill her off till the like, they were afraid to cut that tie and have something where it's like, okay, now we connected the stories, we had these characters that did exist in the other one, we're going to cut the cord and now go on our own. And it was like, no, we're going to cut one thread of the cord, but we want the cord to continue. So I totally get that. What was your next rule?
Yeah. And even bring up Rey being a Skywalker or Palpatine, like that to me was like, you didn't need, she could have just been Rey. So that to me was one of the biggest failures in that anyways. Not to ramble on. But my next one was regarding casting and said, don't cast based on names. Stay away from big names because it's similar to like a character, like when they're casting Superman, you want them to see the character first before the actor. And I think that's definitely the case when it comes to Star Wars. You don't want to feel like you're seeing a star, in a universe that's supposed to be the special universe. Like if Tom Cruise is running around, it's just going to feel weird. And I think in casting wise, I think they did a great job, even with all the films. Or, I mean, the one person I could think of was like Benicio del Toro and the Last Jedi. Like I thought he just didn't really, that felt like a weird casting choice, and it didn't really work as a character. But besides that, again, it was a lot of actors that were on the precipice, or I think are bigger now than they were then. Oscar Isaac is a bigger star now. He's still not a huge star, but I think he's still hugely respected. Daisy Ridley, this was her breakout role, and I think that she was fantastic. I think, she was, again, like finding a diamond in a rough. With all the, and even the side films. I mean, Donnie Yen, who was in Rogue One, is a huge international star. So I could see those people that are even as a fan of Ip Man, but in a way to contradict my own rule, seeing him or that type of character in a Star Wars universe actually ended up being kind of cool. And I guess also thinking of what is his name that was cast in Rogue One as Guerrero,
Forrest Whitaker.
Again, another big star. I think he's probably too, though I think he kind of got that role, and he's actually kind of stayed committed to that role. He's done voice work in the Clone Wars and in video games. So I don't know. So I don't think it was perfect. That's why I would give it like an A-. Right. But overall, I thought casting was pretty spot on for all.
Yeah. Even when you look at like the leading ladies in each of the films, whether it be Daisy Ridley or Felicity Jones, right? That's or Amelia Clark. None of them, I mean, obviously Amelia Clark had some, knowledge of people, from the Game of Thrones, et cetera, but not like a universally known name. It didn't seem like, maybe from, old school television standpoint, you could throw Woody Harrelson in there, but overall, most of those people that they did put in there, like Forrest Whitaker, Woody Harrelson, those types of names, it wasn't like they were taking over, a movie necessarily, or like that it was distracting you from their character or things of that nature. It's not, I think the biggest offender, and we mentioned this in the episode 5 years ago, was probably in the prequel trilogy with Samuel L. Jackson. Was probably the one big in the Star Wars, just put somebody in that it's going to be impossible not to see Samuel L. Jackson. And maybe he had something to do with that as well, because hey, he's Samuel L. Jackson. And name of franchise he hasn't been involved in. But I don't think they did anything that was that bad. So I'm with you. I think A- is a pretty good one, because they did use some middle of the road or some, former big names or people that became bigger right afterwards, but it wasn't like anything that was distracting to me.
Yeah, usually if they use a big name, it was for a side character, not a main character. When you were, they cast the young Hong Solo, and they went with a really relative unknown. I think his only role really that I could think of before that was like Hail Caesar. I think when they knew they had a certain character, had a big character, they did their best to not cast a well-known actor. But all right. My next one, number four, was keep it timeless and don't update the tech too much. You see that a lot with, as we're seeing a lot of these franchises revisited. Alien, to me, is the worst offender of this, is when you have a movie that takes place before or around the same time as other films, and the technology looks a trillion times better because now, it's been 30 years, so they're trying to make it mimic today's technology when the movie 30 years ago was mimicking the technology of that time. Like Prometheus takes place before Alien, but it's like a completely different world.
Right.
And that was my concern with Star Wars, even though this was taking place in the future, or even something like Rogue One, or taking place in the book where suddenly now everything is going to look cleaner or better. Like, how can that, you know, how can they have this if it exists within the Star Wars franchise? And again, I think they did a really good job with this as well. I can't really think of anything technology wise or what they were able to do. If anything, they maybe stuck to it too much, where
right.
I think one of the failures of not of, of the new franchise is that, you know, with even the prequel trilogy, there's a distinct look to the ships. It feels very much of its own time. Where the new films felt too much of an extension of the previous ones, because you do have the TIE fighters again, you have the X-Wings again. So if anything, they maybe could have broken this a little bit more, where we got some newer ships or some newer looks for things. But again, based on the role itself, again, this to me was an A, because I couldn't think of any time in which I felt that this was broken. Right.
I think for me, and this is coming from someone where Amanda and I are in the process of currently watching all things Star Trek chronologically. That includes all the series and all the movies.
That's an adventure.
Yeah, in a chronological order. So far we've watched Star Trek Enterprise, which technically was the earliest one from a time standpoint as far as where the story takes place. And then it goes to Star Trek Discovery, and then it goes to the original series. And then the movies get sprinkled in, et cetera, et cetera. Man, Enterprise did a decent job. Star Trek Discovery, the technology that they have in Discovery, and then going right into the original series is like, I don't know, it's like getting hit in the head with a hammer as far as like how jarring it is that the tech was nowhere near what it should be. And I know they try to make some ways to explain that. But anyways, so I've seen it done badly. I'm with you. I don't feel like they missed the mark on this one. I would be tempted, just thinking about this only, to go back and rewatch Solo, because that's the only one that I could see possibly having some moments where you'd be like, maybe not, but I don't remember any of those moments. That's why I say I would have to go rewatch that, strictly thinking of, you know, does any of the technology or does any of the look and the feel of this not fit where it fits in the chronological order, because that's the only one that they kind of were going backwards relatively. Yeah. So that would be the curious one that I would have to rewatch, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. And I definitely, in the episode numbered ones, I don't feel like they did a bad job with that at all.
Yeah. I think for, you know, thinking of Rogue One, like they had like these different Star Troopers, like the Death Troopers, which were mm-hmm. brand new, which you could maybe say like, they didn't have troopers like that at that period in time. Or something like that. There, you know, those were new, and some of the robots were different. But I think everything that they created, I think you could at least see within that, because you know there were the Royal Guard and things like that. So I mean, the Millennium Falcon did look a lot cleaner and a lot nicer. but I think it made sense, considering it was probably a tad bit newer.
Right. I do like the fact that they did somewhat increase the Force, what we saw that the Force was capable of as we went through each movie, because they kind of like added a new wrinkle each time. Some people didn't like that as much, but so I felt like that was evolving at the same time. So yeah, I would give this one a pretty good grade, probably in the, you know, A-. Right.
Yeah. And my last rule was don't overexplore Star Wars. Don't make too many movies, you know, don't do what you did with James Bond, where you have so many James Bond films, you can't remember which one goes where, or, you know, you even a great one is kind of lost in the shuffle of all the different James Bond films. There's make it feel special. And I think, again, this one is one I think they didn't necessarily do a great job of. And I think that's a big reason why we're now finally getting a break of Star Wars films, because there was too many. Getting a Star Wars a year probably wasn't the best idea in the world. And I think they did overexpose it a little bit too much. So this is one I would give a C+, to a CC+, because having breaks between the episodes, I think, was smart and necessary. And I'm kind of glad that they saw the error of their ways. And now I don't think we even have a new Star Wars movie even announced at this moment in time. But I think it took a little bit too long to get there. And I guess they were probably at a point where they couldn't really right the ship until everything was kind of done and over with. But so, yeah. So I think they did overexpose it, unfortunately. And that's why I gave it a C.
Yeah, I never think that I would say that they gave us too much Star Wars, but probably even a little bit harsher on this one. I'd probably give it a D. And I think the main reason here goes back to one of your other rules. Yes, well, first, I think they were in a bad situation because they're seeing stuff like what's going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where it's like four movies a year and they're able to sustain that and make the money, et cetera. So they're seeing how much money these Star Wars movies are making, and they're going to want to try to pump out as much as they can and see what, you know, where the limit is. But I think it was smart to separate the episodic ones with the standalone ones. But the problem that they had was, going back to your other rule, they didn't separate those standalone movies enough from what we were getting. I think if instead of not, and I'm not saying I, you know, don't want to have Rogue One as a movie or don't want to have Solo as a movie or that I dislike them, I just think they needed to go farther in a different direction so it actually felt like we did get not necessarily a break from Star Wars, but something completely different that then would have captured us back into, you know, like you were talking about, you know, Guardians was something that was completely different in the MCU. So those movies, it wasn't like they were giving us different versions of Captain America, and one was just going back in his past, and one was giving us, you know, a regular in line with the story. So I think that's where it became overexposed for me, was that Rogue One and Solo didn't separate themselves enough for it to feel different. So now it does feel like you're getting the same type of thing year after year after year.
Yeah, if you had a Star Wars film that was like a monster film, which you could do, right? There's like crazy monsters in it, where you forget that it's even a Star Wars film. But then it feels different enough, and it gives you new characters to love and enjoy. The fact that, you know, it is part of this universe, but it's not necessarily having to tell the same kind of connected story. You're just getting, you know, where you feel like you're just getting the same bits of the different bits of the same pie. So I think that's
and where Star Wars isn't just like a movie that comes out and, you know, it's out for a weekend and then we move on to something else. Like when one of those movies comes out, I feel like that's like a 3 month thing. Like that's out and people are going to see that like multiple times. And it's especially when it's over the holidays, it's like, you know, I don't think they took into consideration that, yeah, by the time the hype for the one is over, like it's already on to the rumor mill for the next one. And then that one's, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like it's like bam, bam, bam. So. I mean, I'm still a fan of Star Wars. I still want more movies to come out, but I think they just need to be distinctive enough so it doesn't feel like the same.
Yeah. So, you know, as you mentioned, now we're in a weird break of Star Wars, and who knows what the next 5 years or 6 years are going to yield when it comes to Star Wars. So you want to get into our new rules?
Yeah, absolutely. So we tried to come up with some new rules for whatever direction they're going to be going into the future, whether they, you know, are starting a new trilogy. I know that's been rumored multiple times, and this person was going to do this, or, you know, that director was going to do that, or whether it's, you know, different standalone films, etc. Obviously, we've gotten things like The Mandalorian, and some of the, you know, they're venturing into the TV realm a little bit. We've had the ongoing animated series, you know, with Rebels and Clone Wars coming back for final season. So there has been some Star Wars stuff, but movie-wise, we don't really have much of a hint as far as the absolute direction that they're going to be going. So we're trying to come up with some rules to hopefully guide their way. And the first one's not going to be a surprise for me because it kind of goes back to a little bit of what we've been touching on as we've been having this conversation. My first one is Brave New Worlds. And I want them to Brave New Worlds. Like I want them to branch out a little bit and give us stories that, you know, the Skywalker story is done. Hopefully. They say it is, so hopefully it is. Not that I have anything against the Skywalkers, but let's move on. There's a lot of planets. There's a lot of different races. And my thing here is give us a movie that doesn't even have humans as the main characters. I mean, you can have some humans in there for people to relate to or whatever, you know, you need to do for that. But I don't think it needs to be based on them. Like, I could take a movie just based on, you know, the Hutts. Just give me a movie based on the Hutts. It can be a gangster type film or, you know, whatever you want to do, or, you know, whatever other race you want to go to, whether you go to the Wookiees or whether you go to whatever your favorite alien race is, like try that or go to a completely different planet and let's just have a story there. Like I'm ready for them to branch out and give us stuff that's not necessarily tied to or connected.
Yeah. I feel like we're getting a lot of content now with Star Wars. It's in between episode 3 in episode 4. Like, it seems like that period of time seems to be people are delving in a lot. And well, we had the cartoon series, the I want to call them the Phoenix team, but that's the name of the team. But the Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, yeah, Rebels. Which I quite enjoyed, and then you know the recent Fallen Order as well. And I just hope that they don't see, because also we're both successful, and I'm like, okay, that's where we're setting our next movie. I'm like, don't do that. Set it. So I mean, I guess you could, but just maybe making it different characters. I guess a good way of kind of doing both. Right. Maybe what's not necessarily about them fighting the Empire. I'd even think, like, I don't know if they would do it, but I read the Aftermath books, which take place after Return of the Jedi. They're like kind of the linking between the Return of the Jedi to Force Awakens in a way. They don't go all the way up to the First Order, but they give you kind of an idea where things are headed.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of great characters. So there's even, well, some of them actually show up in the new film Snaps, is in the newest franchise. But I think, you know, looking at those, or just like you said, there's a huge universe out there. I keep bringing up the monster movie idea, but I think it's be brilliant, because there are all these crazy monsters and stuff like that within Star Wars lore, and trying to do like a Godzilla film on like a futuristic planet or something like that could be a lot of fun. I don't know. It might be kind of weird, because it's probably not the best idea when Godzilla itself isn't doing well at the box office. Yeah.
But there's stuff like that. There's genres from the past, or, you know, like specific type of themes that you could go off of, whether it's a gangster film, whether it's a monster film, you know, whatever it might be, that you can, you know, it could be almost, you know, a straight action film somewhere out there in that universe. But I just think, you know, disconnect yourself a little bit and try to get to some new worlds. And my second one goes to more so if the fact that if they do future trilogies, so if there is a trilogy in the future that is getting talked about or discussed or greenlit at some point, like, can we pre-plan that trilogy out a little bit? You know, it'd be exciting if you let the same director to do all three films. If that's not possible, can we at least have a script that's written for all three films? Like, I don't want to go back to this thing where we have a trilogy where it's going to be pitting one movie against the other, or one director against the other, because even if it's not a thing, people will make it a thing. And I don't need the negativity and the toxicity that we've seen from the Star Wars fandom. So I would just want one that is like true 1 through 3 movies, same type of threads going throughout.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I do think that we give the original Star Wars credit films a little bit more credit than they deserve, in the sense of how everything was planned out. I don't think as much was planned out as we like to pretend to be, but I do agree that in a sense, like, it, not having an overall arching plan of where those movies were going was not good for anyone.
I just don't want anyone to have any fuel that they can use to create stupid nonsense discourse.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, when you're ended up having pitching filmmakers against one another, because it's like,
yeah, definitely don't have one person do the first and the third movie.
it seems it's a weird thing to do. I don't disagree.
But those are two of my rules. That's all that I had. So what are the two that you came up with?
We talked about this already a lot, but give more time. Not necessarily just movie to movie, but also this within the movie itself. I love The Last Jedi, but it is weird that it is the only direct sequel, in the sense of it picks up exactly where the last movie leaves off. And I think one of the magic things about Star Wars is all the holes it does leave for stories to be told. It's one of the coolest things about the Star Wars universe is that it's both finite but unlimited, in the sense of there are focal points where things happen, where there's actually progression, people die, and where there's, you know, there's everlasting effects. But at the same time, you can always say, well, this was happening in between. But you can't do that with The Last Jedi. I mean, if you look at like the expanded universe stuff, there's so many, they had like 5 years of comics taking place between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. You're not going to be able to do that with, Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, because it all happens. You can probably do that now with episodes 8 and 9. But I do think, you know, leave that room, because it gives
adds
a lot of
lore, adds to the mythology. Yeah. I think you could think of, maybe, I guess it's a different version too, but, or a different set of circumstances, but Rogue One obviously takes off right after that previous movie as well. So yeah, I like that.
I think these new films did more to make the universe smaller rather than bigger in a way. In some ways, they added pieces here, different alien races here, but they also condensed the story now to the point where you know the exact sequence of events where things take place. Where I think it's better if you don't necessarily have that.
Yeah, let the fans be creative. Let them come up with their fan fiction. Let them come up with their own stories that they're going to play with their toys with and create new stories.
My last rule is, I talked about the Rebels. Again, I really enjoyed that series. The final finale of Clone Wars, a cartoon series, that was fantastic. It's Mandalorian. It seems like where most of the praise for the new Star Wars is coming from or from TV shows, or streaming sort of services on Disney Plus. But my rule is still make Star Wars a film franchise first. I think Star Wars is still best appreciated on the big screen. I'm now saying that now we don't like the future of movies is more uncertain than ever. As we're talking with, since, movie theaters aren't open right now, but still, if anything could kind of keep them maintained, it would be Star Wars, because, Star Wars wouldn't be as magical. It wouldn't exist today, I think, as much if it wasn't a film franchise first. If people saw that on their TV, would it have the hysteria that it did compared to seeing it in the theater? I don't think so. So I still think, I'm all for doing these different series. I think that's fine. Cartoon series, whatever that may be. But still, I think at the end of the day, I don't want all stores to be on a streaming service. I still want them, if they're going to make more of it. If they stop making it, I think I would be okay with that too. But if they're going to make more of it, I still want it to, let the films drive it. And then, everything else can fill in between.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Those are four rules. We were going to be doing five, but we want to give you guys a chance to chime in with that fifth rule. So what kind of rules do you guys think that should exist for the future of Star Wars as a franchise, specifically probably like Dan was talking about, especially as a film franchise? Like, what rules should they follow heading forward if they do more standalone films, or if they do new trilogies or things of that nature? Give us what rule you would like them to follow as well. Dan, I know also in that previous episode, we had given some ideas as far as things that we wanted them to explore when it came to the next, individual films, or I guess at this point, even a trilogy. Do you remember what any of our ideas were, or any that you'd like to highlight that you still would like to have come true?
So I had some random ones. I think I had one called Jabba's Place, which was like a takeoff of Cheers, but a Jabba's Palace. I don't know if that would be maybe a funny cartoon short. I don't think that needs to be a television series. I did talk about the Old Republic. I think that's probably one that a lot of people are saying, there's even a Darth Revan story or whatever it may be. I do think that there's a lot to explore there. I mentioned even some of Darth Bane, who was the first major the Sith Lord that came up with the rule of two. It would be hard to do, I think, a film on a focus on a villain, although we've seen it, be successful. I can't remember the ones that you came up with, but those were two I know that.
I had one that was more Jedi related. I think it was, back
in. I think you had a racing one idea of doing a race, something of that nature, if I'm not mistaken.
I know I had. Yeah, I wanted to say I had the hunting down of the Jedi that were still in existence that had scattered at the end of the original trilogy. I had something that was going back more into the history of the Jedi. I think I had a lot of Jedi stuff. But I guess the one that was the best idea that I had was the bounty hunter idea. Yeah. of having a movie or something that was all revolving around bounty hunters and kind of what they were doing. But I guess I somewhat got that. With Mandalorian. Yeah. So, and it's been received pretty well. So apparently people thought that was a good idea. I wish I had something as good of an idea for them to do in the future as that. But we'd also love to hear your guys' ideas for what future movies should revolve around. Like, what characters do you want to see, or what time periods, what stories do you want them to discover or investigate more? So there's a lot of stuff that we can get your feedback from. You can do that in a number of different ways. First of all, you can go to the website, geekcastradio.com. Just find our episode post there, and you can comment right there, and we will for sure respond to that. Or you can interact with us directly via social media. Best way to do that is probably on Twitter. The show handle is at Cinema Geekcast. My Twitter is at Optimus Solo. Dan, what is yours?
It's DXO_Dan.
So you can get a hold of us either at the website or on Twitter, and we'll definitely interact with you guys and start a conversation there. We also have some stuff that you should probably keep an eye out that is going to be coming down the pipe. Some unfinished business that we have to do, which is number one, start reflecting back on the decade that was. The 2010 to 2019 region has come to a close. I know people define decades differently, but that's what we're considering with that. And we're going to be doing some countdowns when it comes to the different movie genres, similar to what we did at the halfway point. Now that it's all the way through, we'd like to see how our lists have changed, which movies have been added and subtracted and all that kind of jazz. So we're going to be doing that very soon. And we also owe you guys something that we had let you guys vote on a while back, which is a spotlight on Westerns. So we're going to be going through and giving you our thoughts on some classic modern Westerns and just various Westerns throughout time that might be blind spots to us. So it's going to be a fun little adventure that we go on with that. Those are things to keep your eyes peeled for. But until then, Dan, anything else you wanted to highlight anything or talk to the listeners about?
I actually am going to hopefully be starting doing some general top 10 lists for the website.
Nice.
Which I think would be fun. I think the first one I'm going to be working on right now is comic book related, which is the top 10 Jeff Lemire books. But I'm thinking about, you know, this had me really thinking about different Star Wars lists to do. So if you have any ideas of what you would like to do, like top 10 Star Wars, whatever, shoot me a line and I'll try to create something.
And I'm hoping that in our adventure, as we keep going through all the Star Trek stuff, that I'm able to put some articles out there. Kind of based along different stuff that I'm seeing as we go through each series, or maybe comparisons or character wise or different stuff. So I'll be trying to give you guys some feedback on the different series as we complete them and through that. So but until then, tune in next time for another chance to listen to the Cinema Geeks.